All right. I need to do this a lot more frequently than I do. It's a series on finding God's will. And we desperately need it more than ever right now because we as a congregation have chosen to try and do what God's telling us to instead of what we want to do. And it's of maximum importance to us to understand how to try to listen to God. And there's so many varied opinions out there that you really need to see what Scripture says, because it's a mess load of opinions out there, and that's all they are, is opinions. But I felt like this picture really summed it up. You're calling God, you're wondering if you should end the call, because you keep dialing, and you look up at your bars, and it's just searching. You're not getting anything. Anybody ever felt that? Yeah. So, let's say a quick but important word of prayer, and then we're going to delve into this. And this is going to be about a 3-week series. We're going to break, spend some time with Stephanie Davis, and then after all that is over, I will come back and do a week of reflection for one more thing that is separate but together with this series. And in 3 weeks, you won't have to worry about repetition. We've got a lot to cover, and it's important. So I hope you can be here, and if you can't, please listen to it online. All right, let's pray. Lord, I know I need this more than ever. And we as a church, Lord, are on the verge of really handing it over to you. Let us not mess up. Let us not get proud. Let us not get sidetracked. But Lord, open the Scriptures up to us. Let us learn. Say everything you want said. Let us take it to heart and make changes as individuals and especially as a church body to just give you control and to really listen. I ask these things, Heavenly Father, in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. One of the most desperate and pressing questions you'll ever ask yourself as a Christian, and oh, I cannot tell you how many times I've gotten this question as a pastor, is, what do you think God's will for my life is? And we all ponder it, and sometimes it's the most life-altering, direction-changing question you will ask, and you know that. I don't think there's ever been anybody I've been close to as a Christian that I haven't talked with, counseled with, loved on, cried with, while they were trying to discern the will of God. It's very, very, very important. And I want you to stop. I tried to list some areas. Think about some areas in your life that this question is front and center in your mind. This is something I came up with. Obviously, God, what am I supposed to do with my life? Some people in their teens are asking that. Some people in their 50s are asking that. Where should I go to school? Do you want me to go to school? Should I be a missionary? Is this the job I'm supposed to have? Should I quit my job? Who am I supposed to date? Who am I supposed to marry? Is it time to leave them? What am I supposed to do to serve you, God? Am I supposed to serve this cause, or am I supposed to turn away from this cause? What church am I supposed to be in? Do I make this purchase or not? There are times that you're praying about things, and it is so life-changing that you know once you commit, once you make a decision, that your life will forever be changed on the course of what you decide, never to turn back. Now, here's the deal. You got so much in the balance sometimes. Anybody ever been in one of those crossroads? Okay, you're either asleep or you ain't listening. Has anybody ever made a decision that you knew was going to change the course of your life when you made it? The majority of Christians, if you're honest, would say that when you pray and you even fast and you're asking God, that you're even at a moment like that full of doubt and frustration and anxiety and fear. And things go through your mind. Did I hear God correctly? Now here's the killer. Is it me? Is it God? Or is it Satan? You ever ask yourself that? You'll be praying, and then what happens is, you just think, you know, but you haven't gotten that lightning bolt from the sky. Somebody dressed in a robe, like from the first century, hasn't come knocking on your door mysteriously and say, message from God. So, every hour after you think you've decided, you change your mind. You ever been there? You just think you know. And you wake up the next morning, you're like, nope, that can't be. And you're just bouncing all over the place. And you finally get to where, you know, God, I can't hear you at all. Are you talking to me? Will you talk to me? Or is it for these righteous, holy people? Have I just let you down so bad you're not going to talk to me? And you even get to the point where you say this, God, do you really even talk to people? Or are these people that claim it just a bunch of shenanigans and Jesus freaks? Because I'm not hearing anything. And, oh, Brother Bob over there, he hears from God every time he prays about peas or snapped beans. And I don't understand it. And I'm just thinking maybe it's a bunch of baloney. You need an answer so bad it's nothing but silence. Or you kind of tell people to pray with you, right? Oh, I've had this happen. So you've got this person that comes over and says, I got a word from God. And you get excited. And they tell you. And then you go home. And somebody grabs you when you get home and says, I think I know what God wants you to do with that problem you were talking about. And they just emphatically tell you a 180-degree answer from what you just heard. And then somebody at work who's a good Christian friend in Bible study, they give you another answer from God. And they're all emphatically sure that it was God. And none of them agree. And you're just like, you know what? Throw the towel in, Rocky. I am done. It's very, very disturbing. So these are the things we go through when we try to listen to God. And how many times do you just want to say, never mind? Right? I've oftentimes felt like maybe God just didn't want to talk to me like He talked to other people. But I'm going to talk about some stuff. And not some comments, and not some commentaries, and not some thoughts from Dougie, but some real scriptural stuff. Because if you dig deep enough, there's some really strong scripture for this. Okay? And we're going to start from the beginning. And some of you will say, well, we didn't need to cover that. That's elementary. And some of you will say, I'm so glad he didn't skip that part. So if you've heard it, buckle up. You'll hear something that's going to help you. If you haven't heard it, hang on to every word. But we're going to go all the way through this. Okay? And it did me really good to study and put this together. So even if you've heard some of it, you need it. We all need it. Let's just drop our opinions and our ideas all at the door of what you think you know about hearing from God and any experiences you've had in the past, and let's start back with Scripture in square one and go all over. And I want to show you scripturally why, one, God talks, two, you should expect Him to talk to you, and three, what the condition of your heart needs to be before we even delve into how He talks to you. Because if you don't have your heart ready, you can forget everything we're going to learn for the next 2 or 3 weeks. Okay? So that's why this lesson is so important. And just thinking about what we're going to talk about gave me a goose pimples. So you know it's important. Okay? Why should we expect God to speak directly to our life, directly to our circumstances, directly to our questions? Why can't I just look in Genesis to Revelation and get the answer? Well, let's give you a couple of reasons. First of all, think about this. Does God love you as much as He loved Old Testament and New Testament saints? So glad you got that answer right. Absolutely. And I'm going to tell you something. We do God and ourselves a terrible injustice when we miss the fact. Listen. When we miss the fact that whatever else we say, the number one primary reason that I know that I know that I know God still talks to you and me is that He talks to us out of pure desire for intimacy and fellowship first. Okay? God is not interested in barking orders and getting you to do His work. Do you think He needs you to do His work? He loves you. He wants to be intimate with you. And that intimacy requires fellowship, communication. He wants to talk to you because you're His beloved. I'm going to read a psalm to you, And I want you to really hinge on these words, and I want you to drink them in. And I want you, when you see this psalm, to ask the question, is God just talking to me because He's got some information, or is He talking to me because He's just nuts about me? Check this out. Psalm 143:6. I lift my hands to you in prayer. I thirst for you as parched land thirsts for rain. And they stop there for the psalm. There's an interlude. Come quickly, Lord, and answer me, for my depression deepens. Don't turn away from me, or I will die. Let me hear of your unfailing love each morning, for I am trusting you. Show me where to walk, for I give myself to you. Rescue me from my enemies. Lord, I run to you to hide me. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your gracious spirit lead me forward on a firm footing. That's some really awesome fellowship. That is a love affair between someone and God, trusting that God's going to lead, to show His will, never going to let Him step the wrong way. Not out of legalism, not out of spin the dial, roll the dice, tell me what I need to do, help me make a decision, but pure intimacy. I'm trusting you to lead me down the path. Take me. Talk to me. Teach me. Let me ask you this, especially those of you that are married or dating. How intimate could your relationship be with one-way communication?
Some of you say, well, I can tell you because I'm there. Not too good.
That's crazy. Intimacy, if it's going to be intimacy, requires two-party relationship and communication. So, if it's impossible to have intimacy without sharing yourself, think about it. Wouldn't it be natural for Him to share His heart with those that He loves? If God says that I love you, I adore you, I made you for me and my pleasure, and I made you to be intimate with me as my beloved, and He says, come and share everything with me, but He does... This is where it blows my mind, and I need to hear this. He is just as ready to share His heart and His thoughts and His emotions with us. But we share everything, say thank you, have a good day, check our prayer list off, and go away. God's ready to listen, and then He's ready to talk. And He's ready to share. And He's ready to let you know how He feels about things. There have been times that I have done things that weren't even that big. And God has had a moment with me where He has stricken my heart and showed me in a very clear, crazy emotional way how much what I did devastated Him. Until I was so broken and so guilty and so just heartsick that I couldn't focus on work or family or anything. I was just sick. And it happened and it went all day. And I knew God was near and it was intimate. Yet at the same time, I wanted to throw up. And I'd never experienced anything like it. And I woke up the next day to a text message that told me about mercies renew every morning. And the burden was lifted, and as clear as day, I felt like God was telling me, I wanted you to see how you made me feel. We're okay. Let's move on. God wants to share His heart with us. God wants to be intimate with us. We won't let Him. At best, we learn to rattle off a bunch of stuff to Him and say we've got a prayer life. We never stop, one, because we don't believe it. Two, because we won't take time and actually listen to God. Sometimes it's not just to bark orders to you. Sometimes He put the junk in your life so you'd have to stop and talk to Him because all He wanted was the intimacy anyway. And the only way to slow you down long enough to talk to Him was to make it hard on you. Can I get an amen? Thank you. John 15:15, Jesus talking to His disciples, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I call you friends, because I have made known to you everything I heard from my Father. Genesis 18:17, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm doing? You think Jesus doesn't talk to His people? You think Jesus doesn't reveal what He's doing? Absolutely, because He loves us. Because He wants to share. It is unfathomable for me. It's got to be for some of y'all. We got to get over it. That's the God that we serve. That's the character of God that we all miss. He's either some sappy vending machine or He's some gray-bearded lightning bolt throwing, leave me alone unless you want something and then I'll think about it, God. That's not who He is. He's intimate. And for a prohibitive conscience like mine, it is hard to grasp. Secondly, does God's written word give you exact information on every decision you're going to face? No, it does not. You can read everywhere you want to, and it's not going to tell Micah whether he should have joined the Army or the Air Force. It just ain't. But it's a pretty big decision. I could solve it if he asked me. You don't join either one. You stay home and help your dad run the church the rest of your life. Maybe get a job, I don't know. It's not designed to. And those personal directions in life that have no moral right or wrong, it's not designed to. But here's the thing. God has a special, deliberate, definite direction for every life in here. How many believe that? If He has a will for you, and you love Him, do you not think He has a responsibility to tell you what that will is? Psalm 25:4. Show me the right path, O Lord. Point out the road for me to follow. James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Based just on those two verses, could I say, God, You promised me that You would reveal Your will, You would show me direction if I would just come to You. Could I not repeat His word back to Him just based on those? Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. What is He saying there? I don't want you to trust yourself. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you what class? Which path to take. Is that the world according to Dougie? Is that God's word? What did it say? Don't even trust yourself. Come and ask me. I love you. I know you better than anybody. If you will trust me beyond your own understanding, I will show you. Do we do it? No. But you take anyone that says, God doesn't still talk to you, and you say, that's fine. I want you to go home and sit down and write me an essay on what do I need to do with these verses. Because God's going to be a little angry if I scratch them out. But I don't know what else to do with them. Because it's telling me I need to trust Him implicitly. All the way through Scripture, whether you go Old or New Testament, it is a common expected thing in every page that God is going to speak and lead, right or wrong. There is nowhere in either one of the covenants where anybody doubts if God speaks anymore. Nowhere. And no, everything and every story was not all about building God's Word so that when His Word was done, we didn't have to hear from Him anymore. So much of it was just intimate conversation and personal help when God spoke. Based on these verses, should look at me and listen. Based on the verses I've shown you just so far, shortly into this run, should you expect any different today? Should you expect God to treat you any different based on these verses, or should you expect that He should still talk to you? Do you act like it? Is there an expectation that you're going to hear from God? No. It's not for me often either. Just like everything else, I'll honestly say, God has helped me and it's all Him, because anybody that lives with me knows my problems. But I've been on the upper roller coaster as far as believing that God does speak and will speak more than I've been on the downside. But I still hit the downside. Third, how can we be effective in a war? Listen. As God's special forces behind enemy lines, if we don't receive orders. What would happen if every battalion of soldiers in the military was sent into combat, even though they had the proper training and that's all they were told? Go that way. Fight hard. Win. But that's after they've decided where all the hell on earth places are, and they point you in the right direction. Imagine if after you went through basic training, you got all your special training, as you were leaving basic, all they said was, go, fight, win. And there was never a specific order. You will take this place. You will fight here. You will bomb there. You will fly here. Imagine there was never a specific order given to a single soldier or airman or navyman or anyone except go, fight, win. Yes. Would we win the battle? So if you are in a spiritual war, are you, class? You better believe it. You know why you're a casualty often? Because you're acting like you're laying on the beach and you're still in a war. If you're in a war and you're fighting for the most awesome commander-in-chief in the world, and he has very specific battle plans against an enemy that's been drawing it up for thousands of years, do you not think he's got a battle plan for you? Do you not think he's got a mission for you? How do you purpose to fight this war when all you're listening to is, well, just go love people? Come on! That's a wonderful foundation for the rest of the mission. It's our motto. But somewhere, somehow, you got to get some orders and get a gun and get in the fight. And there's not a soldier in the Bible, Old or New Testament, that didn't get his marching orders. Specifically, why do you think you are different? Because to assume that you're not going to be like them would give you a lot more leeway. Oh, that's for other people. I'm the casual Christian. He's got nothing for me. It'll be when I get more mature. Well, if you don't get any more mature than that, he'll consider you one of the expendable privates and just send you out on the front line. So, get busy. Let me ask you this. What if Abraham had just been told, go, love God. Do good to all. And that's all Moses ever listened to from God. God just wants me to love God and love others. Woo! And he lived by that, did what he wanted, as long as he was friendly to people. Because God doesn't have specific will for me. Wow. Think about it. Or think about Moses. If he thought, well, all I've got to do is try not to sin so much in front of these Egyptians. And I got to be good to my brothers because after all, they are slaves and I might can get them some special favors. So I'll be good to them and I'll keep my nose clean and I won't sin much. But he never listened to God for special, specific orders because he didn't think God spoke to him. What about Paul? Do you want to be used of God? Do you want to show God how much you love Him? Do you want to make a difference? If you do, you are no different from these people. You do not have a right to sit there and think that your life under the commander-in-chief is just to sin as little as you can and smile at everybody and try not to offend. That is not your orders. He has a very specific package for you, and you need to get down with it and find out what it is. He still speaks. So, with all the joy and the hoopla of, I'm going to learn to listen to God, comes the, I'm going to learn to listen to God. It might mean I got to do something. I'm kind of thinking, if you don't end up doing something after we go through this, you didn't listen. But it's not going to be in a bad way. It's going to be in an awesome way. God has a specific direction for us as a church, for the next VBS, for the next nativity. He has a specific direction for this church and the building we're going to build. He has a specific direction in this church for everyone He knows He's going to bring in here and let us incubate until their egg cracks open this year. He already knows how He wants to use us. He already has a sealed envelope with orders for every one of us if we are willing to participate in what we will do to make it happen. But we have to learn that He speaks and that He's got these orders and we got to look for them. But every time we get an order passed down, we just use it to light another campfire. Go on smiling. Singing Kumbaya. God is talking. And the number one thing that stops a potential warrior for Christ is thinking that God won't talk to me. Four, learning to hear the voice of God, this is the cool part, is really where we begin to find a real true purpose and we grow our faith. Because You may think you know yourself. I'll tell you this. Before God opened the door for us to start a church, it was the absolute last thing I would ever dream of doing.
Believe me.
God knows you and what He designed you to do and what He's going to make fall into place for you better than anybody. So when you start listening, your life will get more exciting than it ever could because He's got your gifts pegged and your skills pegged, and He will put you somewhere where you can rock better than you could ever do on your own. Can I get an amen? Do you believe that? Then it ought to make you excited to listen to what God has for you. Now, the flip side is this. You start listening even this much, and He calls you to something, and then He sees you through, then in a very real, practical, literal way, your faith begins to grow. Now, here is the catcher. Are you ready? All right. If you're ready, say amen. Woo! The question is not, does God still talk today? We just answered that, right? The question is not, well, do you want to hear Him? The question is, are you going to follow the command to listen to God? Here's where people just think you're off the hook. Let me give you something. Listen. You belong to God. If you have given yourself to Christ, you have died with Him. You are no longer alive to self, you are alive to Christ. You are the bride that He paid a price for. You belong to Him. You are His, He is yours. You do not, as you would like to think, have an option on whether you want to hear Him or maybe one day I'll learn to listen to Him when I want to get spiritual enough. It goes way beyond, do we still hear God? It goes to the point, you doggone better hear Him because He commands you to. So let's just ante it up a little bit. Okay? You don't have an option. Scriptures make it very clear that we must begin to distinguish His voice. Pay attention to this. John 10:3. The gatekeeper, Jesus, opens the gate for him and the sheep recognize His voice. The sheep, what? Recognize His voice and come to Him. Now, they open the gate, we all run to Him. We now belong to Christ, right? It goes on. He calls His own sheep by name and leads them out. Listen, after He has gathered His own flock, He walks ahead of them and they follow Him because they know His voice. Stop. After He has gathered His flock. It is not just a call to the Master. It's not the one-time call and tug on your heart that you come accept God and then it's done. What does it say? After you have come to Him, you hear His voice and you what? Follow Him. And they follow Him because they know His voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from Him because they don't know His voice. Did that just explicitly say that you better know His voice if you are His sheep? John 10:26. Carry it down a little further. But you don't believe me because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I got piloerectors everywhere because that is proof positive that He said again, listen, listen, listen. This is where it gets scary. If you don't understand and begin to recognize my voice, you need to question if you're my sheep. Either because you can't hear me or you don't want to listen, either way, you're not belonging to Him. If you don't have a hunger to familiarize yourself with His voice, if you never ever, after 10 years of Christianity, have begun to learn to listen to His voice, according to Scripture, what does that mean? You probably don't belong to Him. Based on what I just said, some people in here need to take a short gasp and rethink some things. And let me ask you this. If you're still not believing, how can you say with Jesus, not my will, but yours be done, if you don't know His will? How can you Forsake your life, pick up a cross, and follow Him if you can't listen to where He's going. And if you're still in doubt, if we're not supposed to ever be able to hear God personally and intimately because that's just for Scripture, then tell me how in the world a single individual in this room ever got saved. Because forgive me, but Scripture tells me you cannot and will not ever in your own spirit choose God, right or wrong. John 6:43. Jesus therefore answered and said to them, "Do not murmur amongst yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me," what? "Draws him. And I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets," it gets better, "it is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God." By who? God. Therefore, this is New Testament. Therefore, what's the next word? Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Who did they hear and learn from? Was that New Testament? Does everyone include us? So how many people have to technically, literally hear from God? If we're not supposed to hear from God today, then why does Jesus say, "If I don't leave, I can't send you the Holy Spirit who will comfort you and teach you and bring to memory everything I've ever told you"? How can the Holy Spirit comfort you if He doesn't talk to you? How can He teach you if He's not talking to you? How can He bring to memory everything Jesus said if He's not repeating it? So you want to tell me that in the Old Testament, a bunch of people that were never sanctified, never made to look like Christ, never made holy even though they didn't deserve it, never made a vessel of the Holy Spirit, could hear from God, and yet we live in an age when God living in us can't speak to our own spirit, although He rides around in this container and sees all that I see and knows all that I know and is with me everywhere, yet He can't break that little barrier inside and speak a word to my heart and soul? Do you want to tell me that that makes sense? What I am trying to do is scripturally, overwhelmingly make you walk home and realize, oh my gosh, I am really supposed to be hearing from God, not just, "Well, yeah, we should expect to hear from God today." Get past that. What I'm trying to make you see, doggone, why am I not hearing from God? That's what I want you to be thinking when you go out of here. That's why I'm so adamant about this. Because we're not going to get anywhere until we reach that point, people. Right? Over and over, God offers and commands that we seek His wisdom and His direction. And then He even goes as far as to say, if you will not and if you don't, eventually you have to succumb to the point that you don't belong to me. Based on that, I am scared to say how much of Americans living in Christian churches today don't know Him. Because they have never heard Him or they haven't heard Him in years. Are you one of them? Now we can sit and talk about how God speaks forever, but our goal is to say, it's pretty cool, you know, when Jesus went and talked to the Samaritan woman, and she got all excited, and she went into Samaria, and she was telling everybody about it. I love one comment that was made to her, and I hope that this can be your comment when we're done with this. Look at what the comment was. John 4:42. Then they said to the woman, "Now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard Him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." I want you, and I'm praying that we all eventually would say, "Yeah, I believe, but I don't believe because Doug had this fancy schmancy sermon. I believe because I've heard Him myself." That's our goal. Now, we see that He speaks. We know that we're not able to discern His will. Then it's our obligation to recognize and learn and be expectant and open and ready. It's our obligation. We know He speaks. We now know. You cannot refute it. I don't give a hoot if you like it or not. I did not tell you anything from myself because I ain't smart enough. I gave you Scripture to let you see God speaks. Now, we also know from the same Scriptures you are under an obligation to learn. So that brings us to the next point. We're building layer by layer. You cannot and will not learn to hear Him speak, no matter what I show you from Scripture about how He speaks, until your heart is ready to receive Him. Some of you can go through all the wonderful little exercises I could ever give you the next 2 or 3 weeks, and it won't mean doodly squat, because your heart's not ready, and you're not, you either don't belong to Him, or you're too hardened right now for Him to mold anything. So how are you going to hear Him? So what we have to do before we learn to actually hear from God is to prepare our hearts. And what I'm going to end with in the next couple of minutes, and it won't take long at all, just a couple of things I want to say, is how you have to have your heart prepared before we can go into next week's lesson. Because what you learn in the next 5 or 10 minutes in the end of this sermon is probably going to be more important than any methodology I can show you. Okay? Here it is. Jeremiah 29:13, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with what, class? All your heart. So, how do we do that? This is not going to be some long drawn out list. I'm just going to give you something real quick here. But it's vitally important, and I'm asking you to tune in. First, the whole purpose of seeking God is not to get information like tapping into the internet. It's not. Get over the mentality of, I want to learn to listen to God so I can get some answers on what we need to do. Get over it. That is not why we are studying this. God's primary reason for creating us was fellowship. And you need to be more interested in experiencing Him than getting an answer. Do you remember when we prayed about this building? I told you I don't give a hoot if we build a fancy-schmancy outhouse. I am just excited that we got to hear God. I am just excited that we got to see God move. That's what ought to get you excited. Not even what He told you to do. Not even what you saw Him do. But the fact that He actually chose to speak to you. That should get you excited. You should get the heebie-jeebies knowing the God of the universe stopped to have an intimate moment with me. He really spoke back. Oh my gosh! Not, I know what college to go to now. That's wonderful. But let's compare that to hearing from the God of the universe. That's a little more exciting. So the first thing you need to tell your heart before you are ready to listen is, my main reason is just to experience you, God. I just want to hear you talk. Whatever you tell me, it's okay. I just want to hear you talk. God's not into just giving you the information. I'm going to tell you this real quick. Because, why the mystery, why the pressure, why the fasting and the prayer, why tell you one step at a time? Why you do that, God? You just keep teasing me. You dangle a carrot. You take me one day at a time. You take me one answer at a time. You won't just give me the game plan. One, I will tell you now. If God just laid it all out and said, go deliver this to Doug, and He let me see what He planned to do with me the next year, if I will listen, I would have a stroke and a heart attack all at the same time, throw it down, and run, because I couldn't handle it. God gives you pieces because He knows what it's going to take to build your faith for the next piece. And He gives you pieces because if you saw the whole picture, it would overwhelm you. But way beyond that, way beyond that. If God gave you a map and a list and said, go ye, guess what He doesn't get to do? He doesn't get to go with you. He wants you totally reliant on Him. You know what He'll do? He'll sit there with a smile and He'll say, take the next right. Okay, then what? I'll tell you when we get there together. And then He'll tell you, 20 more miles, take a left. And then what? You'll find out the next rest stop. He's not going to let you get away. He's going to give you one at a time, and then He's going to walk you through, and He's going to say, trust me till we get there. I'll still be there. I won't leave you. Rely on me. Hold my hand. Until we get so excited and so intimate with Him that we couldn't dream of being given 2 steps because we want Him there with us when He tells us. Because finally, suddenly, having Him riding with us is more important than where we're going. The only way to do that is if He rides with you. The only way to do that is to keep you relying on Him while you're too incompetent and selfish to realize it's what you really need and want anyway. That's why He'll give you a couple of steps at a time. That's why He'll keep you coming back. Because to Him, Big Daddy, it's all about having my child with me. To you, it's all about just tell me what to do and let me go. And I'm one that wants to run out there all the time. Second, see, it took up a lot of space. There's not but one more, maybe. For searching with our whole heart, we gotta really be willing to say, I want your will for my life. Here's that word. Whatever it may be. Some of you have had to say that. We have to make a conscious decision to forsake, listen, a conscious decision to forsake any plan that you have and be ready for what God tells you. Brenda has had to remind me more times than I can count on all my fingers and toes to make a conscious decision to go wherever God calls us and it'll be okay. And then, after you make that conscious decision, whatever it may be, you walk to God with an open and neutral heart. And you say, Lord, I really am ready to speak to you. I really am ready to hear you. I really am open. I really trust you. You are awesome. I am not smart enough to have any more preconceived ideas. Whatever it's going to be, I believe in you. Not, Lord, I'm so excited you're going to use me, and this is kind of what I think you're going to do. Show me when we start. We've had our moments where we just had it all worked out what God was going to do.
And look, it looks like He's doing this and this and this, and we're waiting on that. It's the next step right there, God. Hit it any day. And it don't happen
because we didn't go this way. We drew the map. Matthew 6:9. In this manner, therefore, pray, Jesus giving us a model prayer. It wasn't His prayer. It was His model prayer for us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come. What's the rest, class? Do you believe that? Isn't it funny how the one time Jesus showed us a model prayer in all of Scripture straight from His lips, and the first line after saying how hallowed the Father's name is was what? Your will be done. Do you think that's an accident? Do you think it's an accident that it's the number one thing we get wrong? Satan knows what he's doing. How often do we pray with this attitude and this intention that Christ Himself taught? Really? Really? Not my will, but yours be done. You know what you're supposed to do? Not come up and say, do this, do this, do this, but come up every day and say, prepare my heart, whatever it is, and show me. That's your prayer. That's the prayer of a servant. That's the prayer of a beloved. That's not the way we pray, and that's why you don't hear. Did you get that? Only this attitude will let you die to self and live for Christ. Let me ask you this.
You better get this right.
Is God's plan for us to live a sweet, quiet, uneventful life? How many of you act like it is, or else you cry? I would ask Ben to do that cry for me, but I can't handle it right now. Is God's will for your life to have no needs, no troubles, and die at an old, self-satisfied age? Is His idea for you to roll into heaven looking like a shined-up, low-mileage pink Cadillac? Or a beat-up, beat-down, high-mileage Yugo? Yeah. God's will is simply for us to draw near, for us to love Him and others in reality, and to reach all that we can. All that we can. Because there are people that are destroyed by the enemy all around us. And, listen, because His whole goal is no holds barred, whatever it takes, these people's soul is more important than anything that could make you or me comfortable including His only Son. His idea, listen, His idea of a successful life is completely different from what yours is. That's why you're not hearing what you want to hear when you pray and ask for His Word. Because you're hoping that Word is a better job in healing and more money to have a vacation with the family and more time off. And His idea of a successful, abundant life and an answer to prayer is maybe turning the heat up so you'll trust Him more. Maybe putting you out there with someone who's going to drive you nuts and grate your nerves for the next 6 months because you'll be the only one that can change their heart before you have a heart attack. His idea of a successful life might mean that you have a very bad illness and you have to suffer in front of some people that otherwise would never know Jesus Christ, but you'll suffer in such a way as you will melt their heart and make them trust Him. And you have to pray expecting to hear from God and be ready to do what He calls you to do. That's why it's hard to listen to God. You're not listening for those things. And these beautiful words. Lastly. Hey, no cheers. Thank you. Your prayers must change from God, where are you? Have you ever prayed that? Where are you? To what class? God, where do I need to be? It's one thing to accept God's will and say, I don't like this, but open hands. Whatever you got, whatever you want, God. But the second thing of God, not come here, be where I am, but God, where would you have me? That means you give Him permission to place you in any circumstance, anywhere, at any time. It means you're totally accessible. And here's the deal. Listen. There is not a time, anywhere, in any place, that God is not working, right or wrong. So if you will learn to tell God, I am ready and available, show me where you are, how much quicker do you think you'll get a response to your prayer than, God, come here and get my world in order? Well, I'm not really doing anything there because there ain't a whole lot happening in the 5 foot space between your TV and your coffee table. So, why don't you ask me where I am and come on over here and I'll put you to work? That's like me calling Toyota and saying, could you send a group leader down and get me working? Because I'm here having a soda and I'm ready to do some work. I'll leave the front door open. How much work am I going to do for Toyota that day? Am I going to hear from a group leader?
Nope.
Where do I have to go to work for Toyota? Where they want me to? They want me to go to Alabama? Or if they want me to go to Buffalo, what they want is where I go if I'm going to work for them. Why do you think the God of the universe is any different? Why do you keep telling Him where you're going to work and when you're going to do it? If you want to hear from God, then you say, where are you working today? I'll go there because I'm a servant boy and you're the master of the universe. I've had that backwards. I'm sorry. Do you realize when I say it like this how dumb it sounds not to think that way? But do you realize that's the way we all think? Right or wrong? God, come bless me. Come use me mightily. And I ought to be saying, what are you doing, God? Where do I need to be? Only when you're ready to step out where God's working. Let me ask you something. If Noah didn't say, God, where are you working? Let me join in. What would have happened? Your ancestors would have breathed a whole lot of water. If Abraham had not decided he would go where God called him, but just stayed in his little hometown. If Joseph had decided, Lord, just come help me. I don't want to go to some foreign land. If Paul had decided, Lord, you saved me. Now I want to settle down in a nice little corner and stay out of the way of that terrible Roman government, not make waves. Maybe I can sneak around and deliver some scripture. But what did he do? Lord, what would you have me to do? Where would you have me go? Oh, goodness. Okay. Why are you different? What about... Whoa! Amen. What if Jesus had just said, Father, bless me. But he said, what? What you got going on down there? Okay. What if Mary and Joseph had said, just bless us, Lord? There's not a person in Scripture you can't apply what I just said to. Either he moved them physically, or he moved them in their circumstances, or he moved them in the company they kept, or he moved them in the job they had. But somewhere, somehow, they had to plug into what God was doing. They never, ever asked God, come bless what they were doing, and got anything from him. Never. But you and I somehow feel that's God's way today. And then we have to say, well, God doesn't talk anymore. Obviously. He doesn't talk to anyone in here. Settles it. Maybe we're all just a bunch of bimbos. Maybe we can't get it right. We're too selfish. Maybe we don't want to go where he's gone. And he's just so tired of asking us, he ain't talking. But it's not because he can't. But if we can make up enough legalistic rules as to why that was for then, we don't have to feel bad that he's not asking us to do anything. Gets scary when you start listening to God. All right. This will sound weird, but it's true. And I had no idea what God was going to do. And God brought this to me, and it's simple, but I got to share it. I was on my way home from Toyota at 2 o'clock in the morning, about 6 months, 6-7 months before God gave me that incredible moment that he wanted us to start a church. And I was leaving, I was driving through Buffalo. And about as clear as I've ever felt God impress anything to me, the question was asked of me, do you want to have a life of good time and fun, or do you want to do something for me? Because you can't have both. What's your choice? And if it happened 13 years ago, 10 years ago, and I can still remember it like it happened yesterday, I know it was God, because when it happened, it floored me. And I was thinking, can I get back with you? Because it was one of those decisive moments. It was one of those, what? But it was as clear as I'm talking to you right now. Do you want to have this happy, fun life and just be this immature kid and be like the rest of the world? Or do you want to roll your sleeves up and have a life that's going to count? And I said, I want to count. And he said, as clear as a bell, well, things are going to change. You need to buck up and fly right, and you need to get serious, and you need to be in the Word, and you need to try to get a little more holy, and you need to act like I count, because I got something for you. And then it all started. As clear as a bell, I remember that day. What I'm trying to tell you is God's not going to speak to you until you decide that you follow Him all in. See how these lessons build on each other? And when you do, follow Him all in. So, in case you're wondering, yes, God speaks. The whole question today was, are you ready? He's not a Ouija board. It insults Him for you to treat Him like a Ouija board. But most of us do. And are you ready to accept His answers? And do you want to be where He is? And if the phone rings, and you finally get Him to call you, and you finally got bars enough to hear, are you going to be ready to do what He says? I want you to walk out of here with two things. Unmistakably God speaks, so unmistakably that He speaks that you better listen or you don't belong to Him. And two, based on that knowledge, I better prepare my heart for what is to come, because we are about to endeavor on one of the most important missions we will ever endeavor on the next 2 or 3 weeks, on how to hear Him. If your heart's not ready, if you have realized that you've spent your entire Christian life and you never heard God, you need to think about what that means and you need to take some action. And if you haven't heard Him in a long time, it's time to get intimate. I will stop there. Let's stand for prayer.